Keith, we stand now at the official beginning of the 2024 election cycle, now that the 2023 elections are behind us. As we stand here at the starting line, particularly on the Republican side, what do you see as far as the Republican presidential nomination? Donald Trump appears to have a big lead. Do you want to drill down on that a little bit?
Well, he is far ahead and in the national ballot test. So obviously he's way ahead of everybody. I mean, he's really sucking up all the oxygen in the room, so to speak. He's all anyone talks about. His court cases are in front of everyone. So that gives him a huge advantage. The one issue for him is in Iowa and New Hampshire, he's not doing as well. He's about 15 points or so, maybe as many as 20 points worse than what his national ballot test is. So it's closer at the state level. So he still has a solid lead. But you could see the possibility that Iowa voters and New Hampshire voters could surprise people and give either DeSantis or Haley a surprise win in either of those contests. Nationally, you know, Trump has pulled ahead of Biden, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. He has led in the last 8 ballot test polls from a range of pollsters. Some are friendlier to him, some are friendlier to the Democrats. And he's done very well in some of the state polling as well, especially in the real battleground states. So, I mean, if the Democrats aren't worried, they better be.
Let's talk a little bit about potential alternatives to Donald Trump, because as you've pointed out, even though he's not performing as well in Iowa and New Hampshire, he's still leading. We had a very large field of candidates, Keith, that started out with the first Republican presidential debate. That has narrowed. Has anybody really staked the claim yet to being the top Trump alternative?
Well, I think Haley has begun to do that. DeSantis for the longest time, and I think they're very close to being about tied as far as the Trump alternative. DeSantis is doing better in Iowa. Haley is doing better in New Hampshire. You know, the interesting thing is that Haley really was nowhere back in August. She really saved her campaign with her debate performance, which was very strong. She did a great introduction for herself. She's come up a lot in the polls. It hasn't taken much from DeSantis. It's drawn a little bit from Trump. It's drawn from all the also-rans who are so slowly sort of slipping away. But she's also doing really well in the ballot test versus Biden. In fact, she's 5 to 6 points better than Trump everywhere. And that's even stronger when you understand that voters aren't really that familiar with her, and they like to play a little hard to get. So I think as people become more familiar with her, her numbers would be better. It's similar with DeSantis. When you look at Biden's numbers versus Trump and Biden's numbers versus DeSantis, his polling drops against DeSantis. But DeSantis's numbers aren't as strong as Trump. And again, that comes down to familiarity. So I think both DeSantis and Haley are doing better than Trump against Biden, but Haley's doing much better.
We have yet one more Republican presidential debate coming up in about a week or so here, Keith. Do you see that debate as being pivotal since it's the last one before we head into the actual voting?
I think it's a very important debate, and it's important because we've winnowed the field down to a smaller group, so there's more airtime for the serious candidates. Now, the first debate was the big cattle call, and that's fine. Everyone can have their shot at it. I think the National Committee and McDaniel made a big mistake in the second debate by not narrowing it down further to the more serious candidates. And I think that third debate, scheduled the day after Election Day, was just completely ridiculous. So in spite of the poor leadership of our national committee, I think these debates, though, have been very useful because they've rescued Haley's campaign. She was nowhere in August. She just had a pointless campaign going on, and she got a huge boost from her performance. And now we're at a point where we've got her and DeSantis. I think Ramaswamy will be on stage. He's kind of degrading rather quickly. Maybe Christie. I think that's a nice, tight group of different perspectives of people who are very well spoken, and you know, you got to hear what they have to say.
Looming large over all of this, of course, are, as you referenced a bit earlier here, Keith, all these court cases, indictments. The president has almost 100 different counts leveled against him in various venues. Does that have the potential to really shake up the race, developments in those cases?
I think it could. It depends on how quickly these cases move forward. I don't think these civil cases, like the current New York civil case, I think there are one or two, there's at least one, there may be two cases going to trial in January on the civil side. I don't think they affect things that much as far as the voters are concerned. But the first criminal trial is scheduled for the beginning of March. There's a conviction by mid-May. That could be a huge problem for the former president. It's one thing to offer some sympathy for someone or to think that he's being unfairly targeted, and I think there's some reason to believe that, to be sure, but it's another thing to actually have a conviction on your record. Now, I've written in The Hill that I think there's a possibility that the former president could try the ultimate delaying tactic and fire his lawyers and push the trial back, and, you know, I need new counsel, and they need to prepare and so forth. So I think he's still got an ace up his sleeve to try to delay the trials, because that's really his number one strategy, but we won't know that until February.
As for the incumbent president, you did say that Democrats should be concerned. How do you see the impact of the war that's going on between Israel and Hamas? It appears to have somewhat fractured the Democrat base. Is this yet another storm cloud for President Biden?
It is, and it points up a larger problem, which is that the Democratic Party is really a collection of interests that all hate each other, but they just hate Donald Trump more. And Trump is really the only glue holding them together. But we see within the party now, they have always had a large percentage of the Jewish vote, and they've attracted a sort of Arab vote in this far progressive left, and they're sort of strange ideologies and so forth that have conflicted with support for Israel. And that happens throughout the Democratic Party. You know, you've got a labor versus environment issue. You've got an issue of sort of centrists and hawks on inflation versus the progressive left, who they just love inflation. So you've got a lot of disparate groups that would be fighting each other if they weren't united against a common enemy. And this is just a sign of that. And even with Trump on the ballot, I think you could have some Democrats stay home because they just can't stand what's going on within the Democratic coalition, what Biden's doing.
And, of course, the age issue. The president recently had another birthday. We all get one of those every year, the president, of course, being no exception. But does that also continue to call attention to this age issue? Because, you know, we continue to watch him at these different events, and the frailty appears to be getting worse as we go along. Is there any possibility that this could end up being a situation where somebody other than Joe Biden is the nominee?
I think that they'd like to have somebody else, but they don't have anybody else. And that's one of the problems in politics, is you can't replace somebody with nobody. And right now their nobody is Kamala Harris, and nobody wants her. So her polling is even worse than his. So that's the fundamental problem with the Democrats. I think they understand that Biden has some trouble, that Biden, you know, he's been saying foolish things for 30 years, but you get over 80 and it gets even worse. And the polls clearly show that a majority of Americans don't want him to run, but they don't have an alternative. And if they were to skip over Kamala Harris, as I said, his polling is even worse than Biden's, it would be a huge identity politics blow up. I mean, to skip over the vice president, who's a woman and a minority, and would be the first female minority nominee for president, that would be just a catastrophe for them.
We have been talking with Keith Naughton. Keith is principal at Silent Majority Strategies. You can also read his writings in a variety of places, including The Hill and The American Spectator. Keith Naughton of Silent Majority Strategies. Keith, thank you for being back with us.
Thank you.